Good morning, everyone. It's a good day to be called a child of God in a world that is not so friendly toward God, in a world that doesn't believe what I have taken to believe, and that is everything and God's word that has been proclaimed and the salvation that is only in Jesus Christ our Lord. But it's a good day to be alive in this world, knowing Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And it's a good day to be able to cry out to God for more instruction in a growth process and taking things to the next step, the next level in my life, a greater understanding. A greater understanding comes with a greater desire to know Him and to cry out to Him, because I believe there's a lot to learn, and I believe there's a lot of classes to sit in and a lot of lessons to learn. And I don't care who we are as preachers, elders, or deacons, or been in the church for many years, there's always more to learn from such an awesome and great God that we serve. If you would, I don't know, for those of you maybe listening on the internet, those of us that are here, if you would turn to Habakkuk. Some people might say Habakkuk, but that's the book that we'll be turning to. Habakkuk chapter 1. I'll share some things with you a little bit, what's going on here. We're not going to share all of Habakkuk, but portions of it, and try to extract some encouragement from this book and this prophet. How many of you can vouch for the fact that sometimes you might seem all alone in this world where not everybody agrees with you, and it seems like there's more and more people, or there's this wave of disrespect for God more than what I've ever experienced or seen in this world. There's not so much respect for God or God's word, and there's a boldness that is in our media that is indicating that. There's a boldness that, so what, about the things that God has established for man if they're going to live, and they just kind of set out a course of their own. But anyhow, how many of you are experiencing that you seem like you're a little more isolated in a world that many people don't believe or adhere to what you treasure to be words of eternal life? Well, I see it all around me, and what can you do about it? What can be said about it? And where do we go from here? And here Habakkuk is in a situation where Judah, the northern kingdom of Israel, has been very rebellious. What happens to rebellious people or rebellious nations that don't do what God wants? Historically speaking, whether anyone, want to argue with you about what historically happens to the rebellious nation or rebellious child against the things of God? What happens? It comes to ruination. It is destroyed every single time. Every single nation, every soul that has raised up to rebel against the very words of life that God has for us comes to ruination. It comes to nothing. It comes to destruction. And so I want to ask myself this. I want to ask you this. If God has the words to eternal life, and eternal is a powerful word, to eternal life, why wouldn't anyone not want to take him up on that and pursue the course to eternal life? Why would anyone in their own sane mind not want to do that? And so it works through what? Through deception. They believe that he does not have the words to eternal life, and I can figure this out some other way. I think I shared this with you. My brother, one of my brothers, my oldest brother, came to give his heart to Jesus, and I said, well, what happened? What after all these years that we shared with him, and he's just still kind of wanted to do his own thing, and then all of a sudden, a few years ago, he gave his heart to the Lord. I said, what happened? He says, I thought about eternity. I don't know if I ever heard anyone say that to me or not, that I thought about eternity, which drew me to him. But I have. I've thought about eternity and where's this all going? In other words, it's going to eternity either with God or away from God. That's what this is all about. That's what this word is all about. It's about leading us, guiding us to an eternal life. And without it, eternal death without him. And so he said eternity, he thought about eternity. And when you think about eternity, that once your breath goes out of this body, you expire, there's no more coming back to do this again when you realize how real it is. And so it makes you think, now I better think about this. You know, I better not let this world dictate where I'm going. I need to vertically, one-on-one with the Lord, determine where I'm going to go here. And so Habakkuk had that conviction that he was God's man for such a time that he lived. And he seeks God, to hear from God. And we just heard a little bit ago about seeking God, to hear from God, to be that soul God called us to be, not just in church, but it's Monday at work or Monday in school or Monday mowing the yard or whatever Monday brings. If it's traditional wash day, then it's Jesus in the washroom. You know, if it's going to do errands, then it's going to do errands with Jesus. In all these details, how many of you are wanting to have a heart that relates to Jesus Christ in your daily life, moment by moment, and giving him thanks for all those little details that you're aware of that he's orchestrating for your benefit? I got a call. I want to give you an example of what I mean by that. I got a call recently from one of my brothers. He wanted to know if I could stop by to give him some ideas of some landscaping around his house. And I said, sure, this was Saturday yesterday, and I'll be by later. All day went by. Sure, I'll come by. I'll stop by later. I can't do it right now. How many of you are learning not to just get up and sure and just fly out the door because somebody requests something? Mm-hmm. I have learned this because I want to help the world. I want to help everybody. And so, and I want to do it so they'll think well of me. So I got to do it now. They've called and said, can you come by? And I would in the past want to see my body flying out the door to go help them. And I see that, and many times as foolish and deadly to my own detriment. You can't do that. You can't live that way. But I wanted to because I want the world to think well of me. Oh, just call Mark, he'll do it. Just call Linda, she'll do it. Just call Mary, she'll handle it. You know? And Nicole, she'll take care of that. Just call her, watch, because I've always, she'll do it. And then one day, Nicole and Mark and Linda and Mary find out that we need to be manipulated. But we need to be manipulated by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Not us. And sometimes our upbringing has a lot to do with that. You know, my mom was that way, so I'm that way, and that's how we do things. And, you know, you just can't live that way. So I said, I'll be by later. But watch this. This is so powerful. If we recognize how powerful it is. I said, I'll be by later. And that was early in the morning. It wasn't till like 5 or 5:30 I went over there. That's a long time from the phone call. But in the meantime, I'm doing what I need to do, and so I finally have the time. I go outside and I step out in my backyard before I go to do something. And on the hood of my truck, my other work truck, other than the vehicle I'm taking to go see my brother, out of sight in the backyard, I went in the backyard, and on the hood of my truck was my wallet. Along with a couple of time cards, and it already had been raining a little bit. And here's what I'm getting at. If we love Jesus, if we believe that we're open to his direction and his leadership and his timing, will not God work things out for us? All those little details, and that will get you to shout hallelujah.
Amen.
And how do you think I felt? Or you just go out and, oh, dadgum wallet, Mark,
you know, you forgot, you put your wallet and you just go about your business. But when I saw that wallet, and it already rained, but it wasn't a lot, it was just some sprinkling, and it was just kind of damp, and a couple of time cards I had also put on the hood of the guy, but I already had it taken care of. It was my wallet and two time cards for my guys, and I about melted, Mary. I don't know about you, or you understand what I'm saying. It's in this process of these moments that God is reaching out to us, and He wants us to recognize Him for His great care for us. And so I'm out there, and I'm just about ready to melt, shouting hallelujah to God that, Lord, thank You. And I say this, I'll quite often say this, I'll say, Lord, I thank You 10,000, I thank You a billion times for showing me my wallet before I went, because of the phone call in the morning is the only reason I went outside. That showing me that You used my brother's phone call, and I went out in the backyard, You directed that, I got my wallet, Lord, just once again, I thank You 10,000 times for Your great favor upon Your servant. I just about melted. Now that might seem so Mickey Mouse, but it is so powerful, because God, His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Are you in your daily life connecting the dots that God is putting out there for you to be successful? Are you wanting to climb up somewhere higher to get out of the thickness and the fog of this world and the pollution and the smog to hear God's voice? Are you wanting to get up on that tower like Habakkuk did? Are you wanting to go up higher? Are you willing to go higher? Are you willing to struggle and fight through it to hear His voice in the midst of all the crud that is going on out there? The vetting of God's Word, the vetting of the Bible, the vetting. You Christians are messing and really messing up our party. We're going to excuse you to let you go outside while we have fun. We who? We the world. We the world in our government. We the world in our schools. We the world at work. We the world wherever the world is. We want to have you Christians excused so we can have fun. How many of you as children know that if mom and dad aren't around, it might be a little more fun than them standing there watching you? I mean, can you relate to that? I can as a child. Mom, we're going to have a party tonight, and dad's on a trip, and mom, can you go visit Aunt Zitty, and tonight, you know, we're going to get together at 10, and, you know, we'll be okay, we'll clean things up. But how many of you would think it'd be horrible to have mom or dad there with you if you want to do things that they may not want to see, especially? So that's where the world is. They want the parents out of here, and the world wants the party and have some fun without being scrutinized so much. And so, but when can we be left alone? When can we be left alone without the supervision? When we can be what? When we can be trusted. When we can have that passion, that relationship with the Lord, because character is proven in secret places, right? The character of a woman or man is proven in secret places. And so, how many of you are hungry for a relationship to acknowledge God for directing your life every day, every moment? Shirley and I were talking about this. You know, it's not that you're going to ask God, can I go brush my teeth? You know, can I go take a shower? You know, can I polish my shoes? It's this. Listen to this. It's this. It's being aware of Him that you have a toothbrush and toothpaste to brush your teeth. It's being aware that you have a shower to bathe in. It's being aware of Him that you have shoes to even polish and put on.
It's just being aware of Him. And you have all the discretion. You have all the different possibilities of doing what you want to do. You can buy a blue car, or you can buy a red car, or you can buy a car, a white car, you can buy a black car. That's not so important. It's that you are aware of God leading you and guiding you to get something for transportation that you desire for Him to pick out and choose. But, you know, you might have preferences over colors, and we all do. It's just being aware of Him, that you have eyes to see color, to see in color, you know, just to be aware of Him. So here we are in a world where people are not so aware of God, not so grateful of Him, not so wanting Him to lead us and guide us. And here we are in the midst of it all. How are you doing in your relationship, not religion, with the living God? Because religion is not going to get you anywhere. Relationship will. And I thank God that sometimes you are appalled and alarmed at what you see in the world is because of the conviction of the Holy Spirit, that you can see it. You can discern the difference between night and day. And what's alarming is that many people are getting into lifestyles and things that we see around us that it's no big deal, because it's becoming the norm, the new norm. In Habakkuk, in chapter 1, he says in verse 2, "How long, O Lord, will I call for help and thou will not hear? I cry out to thee violence, yet thou dost not save." Verse 3, "Why dost thou make me see iniquity and cause me to look on wickedness? Yes, destruction and violence are before me. Strife exists and contention arises." Therefore, verse 4, why all that? Because God's word, God's law is ignored and justice is never upheld. For the wicked surround the righteous, therefore justice comes out perverted. The wicked surround the righteous, therefore justice comes out perverted. This reminds me of a scene I saw in Pilgrim's Progress. How many of you ever watched Pilgrim's Progress? You got the book, you read the book? We had the film, we've seen the film. They have an older version of the film, they have a more modern one, but I like the older one. But they go to Vanity Fair, and Pilgrim is there at Vanity Fair, and these people in Vanity Fair surround him, and he's got somebody else with him. Pilgrim, somebody else is traveling with him. Who was it? Yeah, he's got somebody else with him. And because they surround him, and they got the Bible with them, and they're looking at Vanity Fair, and those that are perverted are surrounding the righteous, so to speak. This is what I'm seeing right here, okay? They're being surrounded like a, you know, looking at them and teasing them, and they look so awkward, you know, Vanity Fair. It's just, they're all cool, they're all having fun, and they're looking at these Christians. They said, they're just amazed at it, just looking at them. And they're holding the Bible in their hand. One of them is, I think it's Pilgrim, and they come up to them and they start teasing them and taunting them, and they said, "Should we burn the book, the Bible?" And they snatch it from them, and they're laughing. And they say, "Or should we burn them?" And I believe they take the one with Pilgrim. They take him, and they burn him to the stake. And so Pilgrim's Progress is written, Bunyan, long time ago. And here we are today. Y'all believe that history can repeat itself?
Over and over.
All the nations, all the great nations of this world, Rome, how's Rome ever going to fall? It's too powerful, man. Every road leads to Rome. I mean, they've got everything in order. They got the power. They got the armament. They got everything. Nobody can come against them.
Babylon, the Persian Empire, all these, they all fell. But God was always in control. God is always and was always in control and always will be in control of all the iniquity that is taking place in the world. But I see, when I saw that right there, it says the wicked surround the righteous, therefore justice comes out perverted. And that was their justice. Should we burn the book or burn them? That was their justice. What justice is that? What evil justice is that? Where does that come from? It doesn't come from God. And yet they're all in it and they don't recognize it. Isn't that crazy? All those in Vanity Fair do not recognize the very evil for what it is, but participate in the evil as though it was good. Woe to those who call good evil and evil good. Can you imagine them taking God's word that promotes life, eternal life through Jesus Christ and everything in it from Genesis to Revelation. Everything has to do with life. Everything without it has to do with death. And here they come up and they have their trial. Should we burn the book or burn them? Both are evil, coming against God's word, His written word that they had with them. Or should we burn them, representing what the word stands for? Oh, gee, I have an idea. Let's burn him. And you say, well, that's crazy. People wouldn't do that. They're just visiting. They're just traveling. They're just looking. They happen to pass through Vanity Fair. That's all they're doing. They're not harming you. They're not pulling out guns. They're not shooting bow and arrow at you. They're not pulling out their swords. Why would you want to kill them? Because of the way they look? Because of their personality? No. It's a spiritual warfare. It's a spiritual... Satan was behind that. Satan, the spirit of death, was in them, using them to destroy that which is of God. And everything in this world today that is not of God wants to bring you down too. And that's why we better get on a higher level. We better get up on and take them steps to seek the face of God and pop through the smog, the spiritual smog in this world. By the way, I wouldn't want to live in L.A. with breathing that smog every day that I understand and I've seen on TV. I would want to go above it somehow, get me on a mountaintop around L.A. I don't want to live down there. But a lot of people, they get used to it, get accustomed to it. You say, what about the smog in L.A., people that live there? I have relatives that live in L.A. And they're in that smog, and some days may be clearer than others, whatever, I don't know, but you get used to it. Smog. And so it is when you travel out of Florida, you get North Florida and Georgia, you go through some of these towns and you hit a paper mill. I don't know if you've experienced that or not, but people laugh about it, but it's just a horrible smell, the paper mills. But I said, how? We stop off there, you stop off, get something to eat, you come out, and there's a paper mill smell. And you say, well, how can people get used to that? And they do. It has to be in their pores, it has to be in their clothes, and it just get used to it. I don't want to get used to what this world is used to. And neither did Habakkuk. This is incredible. He says that the wicked surround the righteous, therefore justice comes out perverted. Always will. It can't come out any other way. In verse 5, God replies and says, look among the nations, observe, be astonished, wonder, because I am doing something in your days. We can camp there for about a week. I am doing something in your days. You guys experience something at camp, that something's happening. The Spirit of God is speaking to our young folks and anybody else associated with that gathering. I'm doing something in your day. I want you to raise the bar. I want you to come up and sit with me. I want you to come up and hear from me. I want you to come up and see what I see. I want you to come up and ask me for my heart to be in you. I want that. I want that. I want that. I want that. I mean, it's clear. There's no guessing what God wants. So how do we get it? I'm doing something new in your day. I believe God's doing something in my life. because I'm aware of the wallet. I'm aware of so many things that can't get in the detail, but it's detail in my life. I'm just, God, I'm grateful. I'll step on the hitch of a trailer hooked up to the truck, and I go across, and I thank you, God, that I didn't break my leg or bust my shin because I slipped a little bit on a rainy afternoon. I'm grateful. How many of you ever come to a situation where you almost fall, but you don't? It's just like your heart is in your throat. Whether it be in the shower or going out, and people up north can relate to that because of the ice. You almost, whoa! But you don't. But you don't fall. And you don't get injured. And you almost step off a curb, and this car goes crazy fast by, and you didn't see him because you were talking to your friend. You were looking this way. And you didn't get run over. Are you grateful to the Lord? Are you aware that He is your shepherd? You're His sheep. That He loves you, He cares for you, He wants to hold you and keep you from what is in this world. We're in it, but we're not of it. And so, the Lord is doing something in your days. You would not believe it if you were told. For behold, I am raising up the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, that fierce and impetuous people who march throughout the earth to seize dwelling places which are not theirs. They are dreaded and feared. Their justice and authority originate, watch this, within themselves. It comes from their own vain imaginations, the own figment of their imaginations. It comes from within them, not me. Wouldn't you like to see a government today having the origination of the ordinances that they're coming up with and all the laws that they're coming up with to be from God? Wouldn't that be something? Hallelujah! To see the president of every media, every newspaper, every media on a TV, every movie come forth with a proclamation: this is going to be a production for the glory of God. Man, I guess we'd be in heaven. We will be seeing that one day. I don't know if we'll ever see movies and stuff like that, that's for sure. But we will be the movie. We will be in God's will. We will be His children. And it would be so awesome to see that. But the promotion that the media is promoting, things that they're making people think a certain way, and they're changing what was normal with God to what is normal and evil today. They're actually, and it can be done, it's been proven psychologically, they can change the thought of America, of this world, through what is projected on the TV. Verse 8, their horses are swifter than leopards, and keener than wolves in the evening. Their horsemen come galloping. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like an eagle, swooping down to devour. All of them come for violence. Their horde of faces moves forward. They collect captives like sand. They mock at kings, and rulers are a laughing matter to them. They laugh at every fortress and heap up rubble to capture it. Then they will sweep through like wind and pass on, but they will be held guilty. They whose strength is their what? Their strength is their God. There are many gods in the world, and many gods of the world are not the living God that we serve. Very, very powerful. But anyhow, he's talking about the Babylonians who are going to come to do... God's going to send Babylonians upon Judah, God's people, for judgment because of their disobedience. Anyhow, let's get right to something right here. I want to be able to share this with you a few moments here. In chapter 2, Habakkuk is very concerned. He's in the midst of all these people that are perverting God's justice. They're disobedient. They know better. There's a lot of times I've known better and I still disobeyed. My parents, just because I wanted to do it and to see if I can get away with it. You ever been there? Whatever.
fill in the blank. Sometimes we do that, try to see if we can get by with something. It says in verse 2, chapter 2, verse 1, I will stand on my guard post and station myself on the rampart or the tower or the wall or the high place. I will keep watch to see what he will speak to me and how I may reply when I am reproved. He's including humility there. It says, I will stand on my guard post. I will get up in this tower and station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what he will speak to me and how I may reply when I am reproved or corrected or rebuked. He even says, in case there is reproof or rebuke or rejection, I want to include that too in God's response to me. But he stands upon his guard post. He gets in the tower. He gets upon the rampart, the raised place, to see what God will speak to him. Boy, I tell you, we need to go there today to make sense out of all this. Don't let the world dictate to you who you need to be. Don't be a puppet. Don't be a muppet. Don't be a robot. If I were to hook you up, Laura, with sort of a robotic type of configuration on you, and I had remote control of what you were to do, boy, oh boy, that's what the adversary wants to do, remote control you to be the person he wants you to be, you know, and just control you, spiritually speaking. The more you know about the planner, the more you can trust his plans. And the more we're going to know about the planner to trust his plans is to seek him out. Nicole, you can't have somebody else. You can't be somebody else what they're doing. And even be used of God, but you're not them. Unique in your personalities. And who you are, your everything, your makeup is very unique to you. Even though you're a twin, I mean, that's about where it stops when you're born. You're an individual. You're an individual. And you need to be the woman that God called you to be. Unique to whom God called you to be. I'm not emulating to be like some other pastor. Linda's not emulating to be like me. I'm not emulating to, I don't want to emulate you. I want to be me, but I want to be me in Christ. I want Christ in me. The uniqueness, the ways that we are. God wants us to be totally His. The more you know about the planner, the more you can trust His plans. And that's what Habakkuk is saying right here. I want to hear what you have to say. Then the Lord in verse 2 answered and he said, record the vision and inscribe it on tablets that the one who reads it may run with it, know it, understand it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. It hastens toward the goal and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it will certainly come. It will not delay. The vision is for a while. In other words, without going all the way through Habakkuk, this is what's going on. He's receiving from the Lord a vision from God what's going to happen to Judah for their rebellious ways. He's going to use a merciless country called Babylon, and he's going to use them to chastise Judah. And they're going to pillage them and haul them off in captivity and do all these things. But he said the vision is not for now. It's for an appointed time. It actually happened like 20 years later.
So right now there's a laughter going on about God's appointed time that Jesus is coming back and Jesus is going to have his world, and there's going to be the earth is going to be rolled up like a scroll. There's going to be a new heavens and a new earth, and he will rule and reign forever, and Satan will be cast to the eternal pit of hell forever, along with those who worship him as their God and have rejected Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Oh, that's what we've always heard. It's never going to happen. It's so futuristic. It's not a part of my life to be considered. It's so far removed. I don't need to think about that right now. And it says, it hastens the vision, verse 3, the vision is yet for an appointed time. It hastens toward the goal, and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it. For it will certainly come. It will not delay. In contrast to the proud one who doesn't believe that, in verse 4, behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by his faith. Though it tarries, wait for it. I know with all my heart the kingdom of God is coming, and Jesus is coming for his people. He knows his sheep. He has them marked. He's the great shepherd. One day he will return to take us to be with him forever, eternally. And scripture after scripture talks about the coming of the Lord, the return of Jesus Christ, the coming of him. And it also talks about the mockers in 2 Peter. It talks about the mockers who say, yeah, you've always said he's coming, but he never comes. Well, one day, he will return. Will we be ready? Are we willing to get up in the tower like Habakkuk to hear the voice of God, the word of God? Are we willing to take it to another level, to seek God, to ask and seek and knock? Because asking, you'll receive. Seeking, you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open. These are all, what, proactive things, that requirements on our part to hear the voice of God. But one day he's coming, and we lived all for several years, we lived right a little ways away where there's a train track. I was telling Shirley about that recently. The train goes by here on Bush Boulevard. We didn't live far from Bush Boulevard, where I lived for 30 years, near Bush Boulevard, where the train track was on the south side of the track. And the whistle will blow every time he goes by. And I was sharing with Shirley how one day that's going to be the glory train, and the whistle's going to be blowing, and it's going to be just like that, whether we will be ready or not. Because every day, you say, oh, the train goes by every day. Oh, it's always blowing, you know. But one day there's going to be a trumpet sound, and it's going to be distinct, and it's going to be powerful, and it's going to be, uh-oh, for those who don't know him, it's going to be a time of melting, because they'll know it's too late. The Bible talks about scriptures that talks about if the watchman knew at what hour his house was going to be broken into, he wouldn't have allowed it to be broken into. He would have been watchful. And one day we know that every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Why not do it now? I mean, why not be like Habakkuk in the midst of a perverted nation, wanting to hear the voice of God, wanting to hear the vision, to see the vision of God for him in his time? Why not be pursuing that? Climbing up, so to speak, on this rampart, on this tower to hear from God. Get away, escape the smog and the fog of this world, the perversion that we see. Why not do it now? Why not do it today? Why not ask God to make you and mold you into the person he called you to be? Because that's what we're saying. That's what I get out of this portion. There's much more here in Habakkuk. But I do know there's going to be adversity. I know there's going to be trials in all of our life. But no matter what may come your way, God is greater than your trial. And I want to close by saying this. In the last part of Habakkuk, in chapter 3, starting with verse 16, this is a glorious conclusion to a life that he was living, surrounded by all the rebellion that was going on in Judah,
Here was a soul that said yes to the living God. And this is what he had to say. I know you've heard these scriptures before, most likely, because they're so familiar. That have been repeated over the years. In verse 16, Habakkuk 3:16, I heard and my inward parts trembled at the sound, my lips quivered, decay entered my bones, and in my place I tremble, because I must wait quietly for the day of distress, for the people to arise who will invade us. In other words, he's going by the vision that he received. The invasion is coming to Judah. But here's the conclusion of his thoughts and where his life was. Though all this comes and all this turmoil comes and Babylon comes and all the trouble there is right now in Judah, here's what he concludes. Though the fig tree should not blossom and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olives should fail and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold and there be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will exalt in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he has made my feet like hinds' feet and makes me walk on my high places. You can read that over again and again. Though all these things, though... What a word. Though, it's connecting a thought with another. Though all these things happen, the enemy is coming to invade because of the rebellion and disobedience in Judah. Though all these things, and there be no fruit, and the fields aren't producing their crops, and all these things, yet I have installed God as my king. I will walk on higher ground, not lower ground. A message to these precious young folks who gathered at camp. Go to a higher place. Walk on higher ground. I was thinking about that when you were sharing it. Walk on high with the living God through Christ Jesus. Don't lower yourself to the standards of this world. Don't get accustomed to the standards of this world as the normal way we should be. God's norm is not the world's norm. Elevate your life by asking Jesus to lift you higher and walk with him. Walk with him. Come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and what? Help me out. I will give you rest for your souls. And so, here's the invitation. Here's the invitation for us here today. Once again, nothing new particularly, but the Spirit is new and afresh today, emphasizing once again, I believe the same theme that God has spoken recently to many of our youth and our camps and many camps, not just here, but all over this nation. Many churches have youth camps and have themes. And I would suspect that that theme would be, or have to be, somehow directing them to step up with Jesus. And be an influence among other young people in our world today. No matter where you are, in our schools, wherever, or get entering the college or whatever. But be a standard. Be a light in a dark world. The more you know about the planner, the more you can trust his plans. For all those who may be listening today, I pray that you will seek the face of God with all your heart. To be able to step up to a higher level, get into the higher position, get above the smog and the fog of the spiritual crud that's in the world, and seek the face of God and hear for him yourself. If you don't know him, ask him to be Lord of your life. Start serving your life with a meaningful purpose that leads to eternity with him, not eternity is separated from him. Do it with all your heart. Call out to him. Cry out to him. Ask him to be Lord and Savior of your life if you haven't done so. May God bless and keep you as you meditate upon these words today and the thoughts that we've had today. God bless you.